When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
NatureBox.com. Every month, you get a box of delicious snacks that are healthy, totally clean. And you know what that means? It means no high fructose corn syrup, no hydrogenated oils, no artificial flavors, no artificial colors, and so on. Smart snacks that are nutritionist approved. And of course, most importantly, Jillian approved. Every month, you get a new box with all new cool stuff in it for you to try. And if you like it, of course, you can ask for it every month. You can go out and buy more of it. But it's a really great way to expose yourself to new options. And it takes all the thinking and the stress out of it because it's done for you. This month, the big thing in my household are the carrot strawberry fruit chews. I had one, and then the kids ate the rest of them, but that one was delicious. So start your NatureBox.com membership today, and they're going to get you a free sample box with their most loved snacks. Just go to NatureBox.com/Jillian to get started. And that's NatureBox.com/Jillian. What are you waiting for? Weebly.com. I love that name. Weebly.com. And here's what these guys do. They help you build a website for your business, your portfolio, a blog, a personal website. It's awesome. It's not intimidating. You don't need any technical skills. It's so simple to be creative and build a high quality site. Honestly, you could do an online store. No matter what you've been thinking about in the back of your mind, or, oh, I thought about a little business. Check it out. It's so simple. Just go to Weebly.com, Weebly.com. And here's the deal. You can showcase your portfolio. You can start a business. You can start selling online. Do what millions have already done. That's Weebly.com. And you can start right now for free. Something traumatic happened. I'm not quite sure where I'm going with this because I'm so mortified and upset about this.
Okay.
So, Autumn doesn't know about this.
Oh.
Autumn, you better pay attention.
I'm ready.
All right. My little housekeeper that I have had for 8 years, okay, right, who I consider to be one of my most valuable Yeah, individual. Like, I mean, I love my housekeeper. It's like, I'm very lucky. I find that in life, people that essentially help you get through your life are valuable. There's no, you know, there's nothing worth, there's no money, there's nothing to own. Like, when you get people in your life that you can count on, they're invaluable, right? I've got Autumn, I've got Cody, I've got my little housekeeper, Inez, I've got my business partner, like, that helped me make the world go round, because we all know it's very hard to kind of, you know, balance everything. And my little housekeeper, she comes twice a week. She's so good. You know, she's been going to my mom's once a week now, because my mom's housekeeper went out of town. She used my housekeeper several years ago, and that was it. So, you know, then Autumn started using my little housekeeper because she's that good.
Show my house today.
Okay. Yeah. Watch this. So, my little housekeeper, I love my little housekeeper, right? She's just like, we all love her. She's loyal, trustworthy, awesome, great with the kids. Just had her forever. So I picked my mom up the other day, and my mom looks at me and she goes, "I have to tell you something." And I go, "Oh my God, oh no," right? So I'm like, "What?" And she goes, "Turn the radio off." So I'm
Oh
like,
my God.
"Turn the radio off." And she goes, "Inez is not Inez." I go, "What?" And she goes, "It's Inez, honey." I go, "What?" She's like, "Her name is Inez." And I go, "No, it's not, Mom. That's ridiculous. She's been my housekeeper for 8 years. Of course, it's not Inez." So she's like, "Her name is Inez." So what happened was, my mom had to have a little surgery. So my aunt had come down and stayed with my mom for a few days. And I went and picked up my mom. My mom was coming to stay with me. So Inez finally tells somebody, after all this time, not Heidi, not Cody, not Autumn, not me, not my business partner, no one. But she finally looks at my aunt and she goes, "My name is Inez." And my aunt pulls my mom aside and she goes, "Joanne." It's not funny. And my mom and I think of ourselves as, like, you know, we're totally like, you know, like, we're so, you know, not racist, like, down, like, super cool, like, we're all one. We would never be that ignorant, you know, white person do something like this. My aunt pulls my mother aside. She's like, "Joanne, her name is Inez." And my mom says, "This is a Linda." "No, right? This is my aunt's name. Linda, this can't be." So my mom doesn't have the nerve to talk to Inez. So she comes to me and says, "I think her name is Inez. We've got to get to the bottom of this." And my mom is like mortified, because she's, I mean, like, you will never meet somebody who was more like PC, super, you know, ethical. And the funny thing is, like, we just moved into this house, right? This farmhouse, and we inherited our gardener, who's kind of like this ridiculous character that kind of roams around the property, slightly stoned, I think, like, most of the day. And but, like, he, you know, he's like a character on a reality show. And it's like, he's been with the property for 20 years. And Clint and I kind of just watch him and wonder what he does. And he strolls around blowing leaves in different directions. But so we sort of, you know, they told us his name was Charlie. So Heidi was like, "Hey, Charlie, you know, do you think blah, blah, blah?" And he goes, "My name is Carlos." And Heidi was like, "Wait a second. They said your name was Charlie." He goes, "Yeah, my name's Carlos." And she goes, "So you're telling me that for 15 years they've been calling you Charlie and your name is Carlos?" And he's like, "Yeah." And Heidi and I were like, "What a-holes. What ignorant racist scumbags trying to strip him of his Latino heritage," right? We're having a field day on what a-holes. And my housekeeper shows up yesterday and I go, "We need to have an intervention." And she looks at me and I go, "What the F is your name?" And she goes, "Inez." And I was like, "What is wrong with you?" I was like, "How have you not told me in 8 years?" years that it's like you will call me Julian for the past 8 years. I was like, you need to call me Julian now for 8 years until we're up. We're even Steven.
And what did she say? What was
she started laughing. And I was like, it's not funny. I was like, how have you let me be like this ignorant a-hole white person that can't pronounce your name the right way? It's like, no, because like people, you know, definitely people from other cultures will say, like, I had a massage therapist named Ryulian, and she was Chinese, and she's like, but you can call me Nancy. And I was like, I will not. I was like, I'll call you Ryulian. And I like worked on it until the pronunciation was perfect. Cause I was like, I will not be that ignorant person that is not sensitive to other people's cultures. And I was just like, oh my God, I got to tell Autumn. I got to tell Cody. I got to tell the kids. So Lou was like, last night, she's like, E-ness. E-ness. Like, working on it, because and poor Phoenix is like, Ness, Ness. So he can only say Ness. Thank God we caught it in time. But I was like, I got to get a hold of Autumn before Inez comes over. Yeah. What happened? And I think, so this made me think about two different things. Number one, we treat Latinos like second-class citizens, man, without ever realizing it. And I get that that's a broad statement to make, but, like, when you call the gardener Charlie because you can't be bothered to pronounce his Latin name, and the fact that, like, my poor little housekeeper thought on some level, like, she didn't want to embarrass me, and she goes, you know, you said Ines once, and then it was Ines, and I thought, oh, well. I was like, are you serious? Like, do you really think that, like, you couldn't have said to me a-hole? That's not my name.
She's not going to say a-hole. That's not my name.
But I mean, just, hey, Jill, you know, my name is Ines, not Inez. I die. And she goes, well, you know, you write it correctly, like on her checks. I was like, buddy, come on. And I just think, look, it's important that we really do respect other people's cultures. And I didn't know. I don't know how I messed it up. I'm so upset, to be honest with you. But it's like, it's important that we really do try to kind of respect other people's cultures, other people's way of life.
I think it's respecting someone's name. You're absolutely right. A name. My counseling teacher told me that, and we wrote her name wrong, and she said, you have no idea how important it is to get someone's name.
So
not just culturally, just in any culture, just your name. It is important.
It's so important. And I also think I also was like, oh my God, do you really think that you're not significant enough in my life to confront me about what your real name is?
But I can see it after going like year seven.
Years.
Year seven, you kind of go, ah, you know what?
Maybe I am Inez.
I don't know. But when you first started this conversation, Inez isn't Inez. I thought you were going to say she's some like, Russian mafia
me
spy.
Too. Like, who is she? She's in my house. Should I call Michael?
Olga?
It's Inez. Call Michael and say, Inez. Inez. Then I call G and I go, oh my God. Inez is not Inez. He goes, of course not. It's Inez. I go, what's the matter with you? And he's like, because Giancarlo's Puerto Rican. So he's like, well, everybody knows that. It's a Spanish name. I'm like, you idiot. You've been in my house and you've heard me saying Inez for how many years? And he's like, yeah, but you know, you're like the white person like that says, you know, like his sister's name is Adriana and people just call her Adrian. Yeah. And he's like, you know, people call her Adrian, whatever. I'm like, whatever? Whatever? Like,
well,
no. And basically, so I would just say like, A, if someone's not getting your name right, or if someone, like, please say, you don't have to just, actually, it's Inez, or whatever the heck it is, and have the, obviously, I feel like on some level, she didn't think she was valuable enough. I don't know.
Well, I seem to recall when we first did radio, when I think it was our second or third month doing radio together over on the other station, and that woman called you Julian Jujubee, and you didn't correct her.
She was 90 years old.
I know, but you could have said, no, it's Jillian, but she went Julian Jujubee.
buddy. She couldn't hear. She couldn't hear me. She said, what's your name? And I said, Jillian Michaels. And she said, Jujubee. Jillian Jujubee. What a pretty name. She was 100 years old. She couldn't hear anything. That's not, I'm never speaking to her again. It's not 8 years of me saying, Janet. Hey, I've been meaning to tell you something.
I have a hard time with the Janet. When someone calls me Janet, I do have a hard time with that.
From now on, I'm going to call you Janet.
No, because my real name is not Janice.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! What's happening right now?
No.
You're a Russian spy.
No,
it's Janice.
It's Flaitita Totita Totata Lavadana Hana Humaha. That's my name.
Not surprised. And I'm going to work on it. Since it's ethnic, I will work on it. Flortita, Kamalanga, Wungahanga, Ahaha. I'll get that right. I will not. No way will I be that ugly friggin' American.
I don't know why. You're not an ugly white racist, for God's sake.
Oh, my, no,
my
but
God.
Honestly, I'll tell you. I'll be honest. I live in L.A., and I see the prejudice against Latinos every day. And people say things to me without realizing what they're saying. I also think they don't know, A, my business partner's Latin, one of my closest friends is Latin, my son is half Latin. And I think they don't know that. And they'll say things like there was somebody who was, she's related to my beauty regimen. And she was doing something for me, and she was talking about construction on her yard. And she said something, well, like, you know how the Mexicans do it. And I was like, I'm sorry. How do the Mexicans do it? Mm. And I don't even think she realized how racist that was. And in LA, you just see people like ignore the busboys, ignore, you know. And the problem is, like, you do have people coming over here that are from another country that are trying to build a better life for themselves. And I don't care. You know what? I don't know what your position is on immigration, but look, I know this. I am not Native American. My mm-hmm. grandparents were immigrants, mm-hmm. so I do believe in immigration reform, and I do believe that we should give people a way to become upstanding, tax-paying citizens. I believe that, and because I myself am not Native American, so for me to say anything otherwise would be hypocritical, and
right.
I try very hard not to be a hypocrite. But you see, you know, so yes, they come over, and yeah, they might be the busboy, they might be your housekeeper, they might be your janitor, because they have to take these jobs. And by the way, they take the jobs and they do a great job. And I watch people ignore the busboy, ignore the janitor. And like, we went, you know, where my son has been going to this little camp, there's a janitor, and I think his name is God, here we go. But I heard the story once, so forgive me. But I believe his name was George. It's probably Jorge, and everyone
right.
calls him George. And so Heidi told me that Phoenix, of course, has fallen in love with the janitor, and like how Phoenix will always run up and go talk to him, mm-hmm. and how at first he was like, who, me? Like, you're talking to me? Because like,
aww.
No one sees the guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just, the fact that my housekeeper did not tell me after 8 years, when I consider her like, a very valuable member of the household,
yeah.
that she would not tell me. I just was like, oh my, it was so upsetting. And I just think it, to me, says something about the status that Latinos are put in our culture. And we just think of them as, people think of them as, not everyone, I'm not pointing fingers, but there's definitely a tone that they're less than, and they're illegal immigrants. And I think there's something to that, that they don't stand up and say, this is actually my real name. My name's not Charlie. It's Carlos.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I don't know. Please, I guess I'm just saying, please be sensitive and appreciate that we are all people. I one last thing on this topic is, you know, this prejudice stuff makes me bananas. I was watching this show called Masters of Sex the other day, and it's a real show about Masters and Johnson, the guys who wrote that,
yeah.
the man and the woman who wrote the whole sex study and whatever. So obviously it was the 50s, and this study on sex was very controversial. So this doctor who's like the top doctor in the field of OBGYN, all this stuff, he gets thrown out of two different hospitals, and he ends up at an African-American hospital. And so their white patients, because it's the 50s,
right.
no longer want to go see him because they don't want to go to that hospital. They don't want to go to that part of town. And his research assistant is like, okay, well, it looks like most of the people we're going to be doing the study with are going to be black, African-American, whatever. And she's like, do we need to categorize that? like, oh, well, in black people, the study says blah, blah, blah. And he was like, no. He's like, what are you talking about? No. And she's like, no, the only difference between black people and white people is that they have more melanin in their skin. He goes, that's as ridiculous as saying, should we categorize the study for those people who have brown eyes and those people who have blue eyes? And she's like, but Bill, it will be relevant to the people who read the research. And I just, what happens that we look at other human beings and see them as second class? I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't. And obviously there's something that for my own housekeeper to not feel comfortable enough to tell me her freaking name is Ines. I'm so upset. I'm truly ashamed. I really am. I'm upset, man. So I just think we need to be more sensitive. We need to really, like, pay attention to people, look them in the eye. You know, even if they're your janitor, your busboy, they're valuable human beings just like you are. And make an effort to get to know people and to respect their culture and to be, I don't know, more sensitive to what's going on around you. I'm an a-hole, Janice.
No, you're not.
Come from Chita Con Malita from Oof. Isn't that your name?
I think you're being overly hard on a situation where it,
No, I'm telling you. Telling you, dude. You're from Canada. You should see what it's like on the West Coast here. It's tough. It's a big issue.
No, you're absolutely right. You know
big
what?
Deal.
When I moved to L.A., it was a culture shock for me to understand.
It's a big thing.
Different, you know. It was. Yeah. Although we have cultures in Canada. We have different cultures.
What?
We do. And Vancouver has a huge Asian community. Huge,
I know that's true.
Huge.
Yeah. Australia does too.
East Indian community. Yeah. Huge.
All right. Oh. Are your underwear polka dotted? Those are horrible.
I do.
Are those gray underwear with lime colored polka dots?
No.
Yes. Yes.
They're gray.
They're gray.
They're little underpants.
With lime and aqua polka dots.
They're cute.
No, they're not.
Blue.
That's not blue. That's lime colored.
Oh, man.
They're not cute. You know they're not cute. Why do you say they're cute?
I think they're cute. They could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
Okay, but then that's what you say. They could be worse, not they're cute.
You know what? I take that back. You know, I'm not going to loosen the bone on you. You deserve every bit of pain you're going through. You deserve it. Take it. Let it rest on you like a heavy blanket.
Just like your underwear. It's a Reverie Bed Spot, Manis. All right, check it out. If you're not getting great restorative sleep, you are not maximizing the benefits of nutrition and exercise. Treat yourself right and get the awesome bed you deserve. And I remember when I was talking to the guy and I was like, well, this is kind of pricey. He's like, you know what? How much did you spend on that car? And of course, it was a gazillion times more than the bed. And he goes, do you know how many more hours you're going to spend in this bed for the rest of your life than that car? And I was like, oh, he makes a really good point. And you know what? Honestly, I've been sleeping on my new customized bed, and I've noticed that I wake up feeling significantly more well-rested. It's truly amazing what this bed can do. Check it out. Go to www.sleeplikejillian.com. Reverie offers a 101-night no-risk guarantee because they believe the best place to try a new mattress isn't in the store, but it's in your own bedroom. For a long period of time. And guess what? If you don't love it, you already know what I'm going to tell you. They're going to come, they're going to pick it up, and they're going to give you 100% of your money back. There's no return shipping fees, no restocking fees, no catch here. So you know what? Give it a try. Just go to www.sleeplikejillian.com to order your brand new bed. And again, www.sleeplikejillian. And for a limited time, the first 100 people that call 888 888- 888 888- 5990 and say that they heard about the Reverie Bed on my show, you're going to get a free set of 618 thread count sheets if you purchase a sleep system that's a $300 value, all for free. This box stuff is the wave of the future. We got a new one for cosmetics. It's called Birchbox.com, BIRCHBOX.COM. And it's literally the coolest way to shop for beauty products. Every month, I'm sure you know how this works by now, you're going to receive a box of 5 new beauty samples that are tailored to the profile you filled out. So if you're going, well, what about my skin tone? What about this? What about that? You fill it all out, and then they tailor the products they send directly to you. You get to try new products from niche brands, up-and-coming lines, everything in between. It's all risk-free. You can discover all new products that are just right for you. And then, if you like them, you can purchase the full-size version of your favorites in the Birchbox's full online shop. The subscription is $10 a month. It ships every month for free. There's no obligation. You can cancel at any time. And their shop is literally stocked with the best products, including all of your customer favorites, exclusive launches, and of course everything that you get every month in your box should you want to purchase it en masse, so to speak. Just use the promo code Jillian, J-I-L-L-I-A-N, and get 100 Birchbox points with the purchase of your subscription. That's $10 to spend towards your favorite new products.
We are doing a monthly segment with
Dr. Mom.
Dr. Mom. And it is time. We are behind and we need to get her on. So we are thrilled to have Dr. Joanna McCarris on with us today.
Dr. Mom, hello.
Hi. Thank you, Janice. That's very sweet. Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Mom, so here's the deal. A few things have happened and I've gotten a lot of requests for you to talk about depression. I think part of it was sparked by the Robin Williams situation. Mm-hmm. Then that obviously brought on a lot about people being depressed, it not being okay to talk about. I actually read quite a few articles about how in the African American community, depression is shunned. Nobody talks about it. I don't know if that's true or not, but I read a lot about that. And you know what? I personally was going through stuff recently where I was like, am I depressed? Like, I can't seem to find my happy, consistently can't seem to find it. And I'm tired. And I was talking to Dr. Wilson about it. And I was like, all right, I need my mom to talk about this because I wondered, A, am I depressed? B, you know, are there different kinds of depression? Do I need medication for this? So can you first, what is depression? Obviously, you're bummed or what? Is there like a clinical description?
Hopefully, we're going to be able to get through enough information because that's what I want to do today is give you and your listeners enough information so they can begin to recognize, A, if they're depressed, and B, what level of depression they might have, and then in themselves or in another, and then, you know, reach out and get some help.
Right.
So hopefully we'll have enough time. If not, maybe we can, you know, go over to the next time we record. First of all, there are different kinds of depression. There are different kinds of depression. There are different degrees and severities of depression. And of course, there are different causes of depression.
Okay.
So the one we're going to talk about today is major depressive disorder. But just as an aside, there is a diagnostic manual that psychotherapists use. It's called the DSM-5. And they have 7 or 8 different categories of depression listed in that. And the reason I think this is especially pertinent is because you mentioned Robin Williams.
Yeah.
So this is just going to be a quick aside because we're only going to talk about major depression today. But other categories include things like premenstrual dysphoric disorder.
Okay.
Substance and medication-induced depressive disorder. Sounds like Robin Williams from everything we read.
Wow, okay.
Wait, and depressive disorder due to another medical condition. Again, obviously I don't know for sure, but it certainly sounds like what they were saying about Robin Williams because we know that he abused substances and had been depressed from that.
Okay.
We know that he then is diagnosed with Parkinson's, and Parkinson's, not only would the diagnosis obviously be depressing emotionally and mentally having to adjust to it, But my guess is, I don't know because I'm not an expert in this, but it's a neurological disorder.
Right.
Okay. So there may be physiological components as well. So he really was hit with possibly a real triple whammy.
Okay.
In terms of his depression.
Okay.
All right. So now with major depression, there are generally two different ways, Joanne, that people express it. And these are ways now that people can start to listen and see if it sounds like themselves or somebody else.
Okay.
Because some people feel depressed and express it in a more agitated way.
Right. Right. Okay.
And some people feel it and express it in a more withdrawn way. So let me sort of give you the distinctions there.
Yeah.
So people who are in a more withdrawn depression, they kind of feel like they're moving through a thick kind of soup.
Okay.
They're more constricted. They have slowed reactions emotionally, mentally, physically.
Wow.
They're quieter. They keep to themselves.
Okay.
That's more typical of withdrawn. People with an agitated depression, they're tenser. They're more impatient and irritable.
This is
they
me.
Have, well, okay.
This has been
they
me
have,
lately. Go on, go have, on, go on, though. Go on, because it's like I've been that way before without being depressed, but go on.
Right. Frequent verbal outbursts.
Okay.
There's agitated body movement that other people can notice. It's not just they notice it. In fact, they may not, but you notice it.
Okay.
In other words, they can be sitting down, but their arms, their legs, their head, they're frequently moving.
Okay.
They appear more preoccupied than they do withdrawn. And then also, this is something only they would know or a therapist would know from talking with them. They often experience more resentment.
Oh, my God. That is exactly what I
think Jillian just want to toast
God. Oh, my God, Mom. Like, I've been digging through this because it's like it's just been – like one horrible thing after another, which you know about, like really hurtful, really harmful attacks that have been like devastating to me, that have really kind of grabbed me and shaken my belief in people. And it's been going on for years now, but I'm like, it's been like the last year. You've seen it where you just, it's like, you're kidding me. Another one. And it's so heartbreaking.
Well, here's the thing. You're talking about, on the one hand, you're talking about being depressed in response to events in your environment. However, the fact that you add to that that it's been going on for years, that indicates, honey, that there's also underlying issues. So that it's not just about a situational or external depression, but there's something else, other issues going on internally. But
these are the signs. Okay, so now I say I've got the second one.
those are just the ways that depression is usually expressed. I've got a whole list of symptoms that I'm going to get to.
Oh, okay. I understand.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I've got a patient in 15 minutes. So
how dare
I'm
you?
I'm
your child!
I know. Well, this is why you're depressed. everyone else.
I knew it!
Okay.
And I'm resentful!
Right.
Go on.
So, now, honey, another thing you have to keep in mind, even when you're thinking about yourself, and everybody has to keep this in mind, there are different levels of depression. So because somebody isn't knocked out lying in bed doesn't mean they're not depressed.
Right.
And I'm going to talk about the different ways to try and sort of recognize in yourself where you're at.
Okay.
So before we get into major depression, there's one other thing I want to talk about that's very important. It's its own category of depression, and it's something called dysthymia.
Okay.
Okay. Now, dysthymia, it may be what you have, Joanne.
See, I've heard you talk about this, though. Isn't this where you're just chronically, chemically depressed?
Yes.
I don't think that's what I have, though, Mom.
Okay.
I used to be happy.
But wait, it's not a chemical. It's not necessarily a chemical depression. Whereas major depression, definitely a chemical depression. Your neurotransmitters and your brain chemistry has gotten all scrambled.
Okay.
And so, yeah. Okay. So, yes, but you're right, honey. Dysthymia, it's a lower grade. It's a long-term diagnosis. In fact, for a therapist to diagnose a patient with dysthymia, they must have been experiencing it for at least 2 years.
Wow.
Okay?
Okay.
So it's chronic.
Okay.
It often starts in your childhood or your adolescence.
Okay.
And it continues into adulthood. And again, generally speaking, because I can only speak in general terms, obviously sure. everybody's different. This category of depression involves only one or two of the milder symptoms that I'm going to read in just a minute.
All right.
And another very important distinction here is that dysthymia rarely interferes with an individual's functioning, whereas depression does.
Oh.
Okay, again, in different levels, severe, you know, interference with functioning all the way to mild interference with functioning.
Okay.
But with dysthymia, it doesn't interfere with somebody's functioning, be it, you know, professional, school, social, relational.
Paying your bills.
Exactly.
Running your errands, going to your job, taking care of your kids. Okay.
Yes. In fact, here's the thing, and maybe this is what you're talking about. Dysthymic individuals, they're usually not even aware that they suffer from a mood disorder because it's just become their normal. They've had it for so long, they don't know anything any differently until they get into therapy and start to recognize with the help of the therapist that this is a chronic low-grade depression.
You know what it is, Mom? Here's the problem. There used to be like I used to have this passion and this drive and this ambition, and I, for some reason, you know, I've wanted to kind of retreat and withdraw a bit, and I'm like, all right, you know, maybe I need a course correction. I don't know what, and that's where I find, like, I'm like, where is my, like, all I wanted to do my whole life, I was like, you know, I want to feel like I'm helping people. It's cathartic for me. It makes me feel like mm-hmm. I've got meaning. It makes me feel like I've got purpose. And because of the things that have happened, you know, in the last several years, I've started to get this feeling of like, you know what, no good deed goes unpunished. And the more I try to kind of put myself out there and be helpful, the more my hand is getting bit, and it's making me a little bit depressed and reclusive.
You know what you just said? You know what you just said? Freudian slip.
What'd I say?
You said no good deed goes unpunished.
It doesn't.
You're talking about no bad. You mean no bad deed goes unpunished?
No,
don't
Mom.
You?
I mean no good deed. I mean that, like, I've tried.
You feel like you're getting punished for good things
yes,
you do?
Yes. Yes. And that's what's been so hard for me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
You got it.
What we can't do, first of all, we can't do it because it's inappropriate. Second, because I'm your mom, I can't
I know.
Do therapy with you.
Of course not.
This
I know.
Talk about,
I know. But it's been that lack of that passion and that drive for something mm-hmm. that I love that has made me a little, like, a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Shy.
Cynical?
Wingy?
No, shy. Like you're afraid of something. Gun-shy.
Gun-shy.
I'm a little gun-shy. Okay. I'm a little reclusive. I feel like, you know, I want to retire. Like, I'm just like, okay. You know, and then I know it's ridiculous, but it's definitely made me a little more withdrawn, a little more afraid, a little more nihilistic, a little less hopeful, a lot less hopeful, to be dead honest with you. A lot less hopeful.
Yeah.
And that's like, and I wonder, could a specific incident that happens, could a death in the family, could a loss of a job, could an occurrence put somebody in a depression?
Okay. An occurrence can be the trigger that puts someone in a depression. But do you remember what I alluded to when we first started today, in that there are three different sort of
right.
causes
okay.
of depression. So there's situational, external. That's what you're talking about. A death in a family,
right.
a loss of a job, a disabling illness, a natural disaster. Those things can push one into a depression.
Okay.
But if the person doesn't pull out of it, if it perseveres, and I really want to get to the symptoms because I think that's the most important.
I also need you to give me an action plan on what we should do. Like, is medication?
I know. You know what, Jillian? I don't know if we're going to have time.
All right, forget it. So let's say.
What I'm thinking. Wait a minute. Wait. Can we do part of it? Finish up part of it today, and then pick up on it another time?
No. We have to provide solutions, Mom, or we just leave people hanging, going, "I'm depressed. Now what do I do?" So let's say this. We're depressed. We've established we're depressed.
Okay.
What do we do?
Okay, here's what I'm going
get to
do.
The meat and bones, Mother!
No,
I'm on the edge!
I'm taking up all the time.
Okay, go.
All right. First of all, then, let me talk about the symptoms, and let me talk about what to do.
Okay.
So, a major depression, you will be able to sort of recognize the difference in that compared to dysthymia, it's a relatively acute incident, or it can be intermittent where you're fine, happy, and then you're not.
Okay.
But here's two things to look for. Your sadness or your depressed feelings, there's a definitive shift from one's normal state of mind. You know this is not how you normally feel.
That's me.
And there is a relatively, because it could be mild to severe, but a significant impairment in one's functioning. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to read you symptoms. And generally speaking, if somebody has those two things, the shift from their normal state of mind, a significant impairment in their daily functioning, and then the diagnostic manual will say at least five or more of these following symptoms,
okay,
they're pretty depressed, or they're in a major depression.
Okay.
The level has yet to be determined. So I'm going to read the symptoms. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Sadness, loss of interest in pleasurable activities, feelings of worthlessness, low energy or fatigue, changes in sleeping patterns, either sleeping too much or insomnia,
okay,
changes in appetite, either overeating or undereating, and also if somebody has lost a significant amount of weight or gained, let's say like more than 5% of their body weight,
yeah,
in a month,
oh,
that's significant. Because, and of course, taking into consideration they're not trying to lose the weight.
Yep.
Okay. Difficulty focusing, concentrating, paying attention, excessive inappropriate guilt, hope, now we're moving into the heavier symptoms, hopelessness and despair,
oh,
that slowed thinking and movement that I talked about earlier where one feels like they're walking through pea soup.
Yeah, okay.
Impaired reality testing, which now we're getting more severe, such as delusions or hallucinations. Now we're moving into a psychotic depression, which is much, obviously much rarer.
Okay.
And all the way up to suicidal thoughts and or plans or attempts.
Okay.
So the more serious, the more intense the symptoms, the longer one has endured them, the more they have, the more severe the depression.
All right.
So now let's talk about what to do.
Right. Okay. So yeah, you're listening to this and you go, you know what? This is me.
Sounds like me.
Yep.
Okay.
Now what? Because then I was
all
like,
right.
I was like, do I need to get out? Because I don't even believe in those. I was like, I mean, it's just, what do?
You don't believe in what?
I don't believe in those meds, Mom.
All right.
I don't believe
okay
in them. I think they're bad for your body. And I was like, I've
okay
just been hit by stuff that I need to work through. I got to dig
okay
in deeper.
Now I'm going to give you a clinical professional point of view.
Okay.
And obviously everybody is entitled to find the path that feels right to them.
Right, right.
But there are three things to explore if you think you're depressed.
Okay.
The first one is self-help, where you just try and do it on your own. And this is only going to be sufficient by even in and of itself if the person is only mildly depressed and if they have a really good support system.
Right.
And those kinds
yeah
of things, there are things like self-help books, self-care, you know, making sure you have time to rest, get enough sleep, you know, taking warm baths if that soothes you,
mm-hmm,
talking, expressing, talking with close friends and loved ones, socializing, getting outdoors, setting small, reasonable goals for yourself, like even cleaning out the junk drawer.
Yep. That does help, by the way. That helps a lot,
yes,
I've noticed. And it's like,
accomplishing.
Yeah, and that's something that Dr. Wilson also said. He's like, you know, you find peace and a connectivity with Heidi, with your kids, with your friends.
Yes.
You need to surround yourself with,
yes,
you know, your family and your friends as much as possible. I'm here
absolutely
for you. And he definitely said all of that. Okay, go
connection
on.
Connection.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's how
but
I was feeling, Mom, like disconnected. Like just
yes
hopeless
yeah
and sad. And the only thing that would make me feel connected was like, you know, talking to you, talking to my friends, being with Heidi, playing with the kids. And that's why
right
I was like, I just can only do this right now. But anyway,
okay,
go
yeah
on, go on.
Yeah, because I only have 5 minutes.
I know.
All
go.
Right.
Okay,
so
we'll go to the second
the
one.
The next one is the obviously if you find that's not enough, now you have to look into therapy,
okay,
individual and or group therapy. And then
group
the third
therapy
one
for depression.
Oh, because some people can't afford individual therapy. And Jillian, not all group therapies would be effective, but not all individual therapies would be effective. It depends upon the group, who facilitates it. It depends if you're an individual therapy, who your therapist is, what the
yeah
connection is like. So you have to experiment and explore and make sure it's the right setting.
Yep.
But remember, we're talking about connections here.
Yeah. Oh, right. So, of course.
Yes.
A support system. Yes. Okay, I got
now,
it.
I want to make sure, I want to quickly talk about medication, okay?
You have to. Because I think that's what everyone thinks they need to do. And I know I know you've told me that you there are times you must be on it.
Yes.
But do you always need to be on it?
No.
Okay.
And here's the thing. So, and now I'm talking sort of anecdotally when I say my experience is that medication is rarely effective on its own, and it needs to be combined with psychotherapy. If psychotherapy, self-help, if, Jillian, those things are not enough to pull the person out of a major depression, and their functioning is being significantly impaired, their relationships are being really tested and stretched thin, then it's appropriate, and I support it, if somebody wants to also get an evaluation for medication. What you just need to understand, when somebody becomes clinically depressed, their neurotransmitters are all off. So now you're really struggling to get your brain chemistry back in order. Sometimes you can do it.
I remember you told me that it becomes almost like a vicious cycle from a biochemical perspective, because you become depressed, it affects your brain chemistry, therefore keeping you depressed, and sometimes you need the medication to help you break out of that.
So, now, some people say they want to try medication exclusively. You know, it's up to each person to make their own decision, so I would say if that's what somebody wants to try it for a few months, see how you do. On the other hand, some people like you, honey, don't want to use medication.
I don't. I don't want to be medicated out of it. I feel like I have work to do here, and I just need to gut it out, and I need to do it. And I have started to break through, but it's been hard. It's been really hard, and it's been like doing what you said. Like, I doubled up on my therapy. It sucks. And it's like, I doubled up on my therapy. You know, I've put myself out there. I've tried to be vulnerable with my friends. I've told my friends, like, I think I'm going through something.
No.
You know, and it's like, and it's just, but it's, I'm like, no, I'm going to get through this. I'm being tested. I'm going to come out of this a better person. I'm going to like find that better, deeper good inside of me, and I'm going to work through this.
Okay. But now I've got 2 minutes. My light is on right now. So I want to finish up on this medication issue.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is there is no one size fits all in terms of medication being the answer, but depending on the degree or the length of the depression, I think that antidepressants can certainly be considered as part of an overall treatment plan. But like you're saying, I would never say to a patient, you don't have to go for a medication if I'm not seeing you. Never, ever would I do that. So I really respect my patients' values on this. But having said this, and this I want to get in before we get off the phone, if somebody wants to go on medication or try medication, it's essential that they see a specialist.
Yeah. My God, I know.
So many people, now wait, I got to say this and I got to get off the phone.
I know.
So many people see their internist, and that's like seeing a radiologist for a cardiac problem.
Yeah.
You have to see a pharmacologist. A pharmacologist is a psychiatrist, an MD. They specialize in psychotropic medication, because it's not unusual for some people to be either very sensitive to the medication or very resistant to it. So a psychopharmacologist, they know how to adjust it, how to titrate it, excuse me, over time to find an effective treatment. And that's so important, because otherwise the person often gives up too soon. They say, oh, they put me on Zoloft, it didn't work. Yeah. Or Zoloft may have been the wrong medication.
Right.
Or the wrong dosage. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Or they needed.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it on Loser. I've seen it. I used
to
see the, like, you know, the a general practitioner putting them on something, a general practitioner pulling them off something, and them just being bouncing off the walls, nutso kabutso. I've seen it. And I that was a huge fight that I had on that show, because I knew better because of you. And I was like, you can't just do this. Yeah, I know.
No.
That. Yeah.
Well. And I empathized with you, and so I understand that. I'm sorry.
I know you need to go. So, Mom, if somebody has more questions, if they want to reach out, I know you have a full practice, but if you have slots open up, what's the office number?
It's 310-207-0079.
Thank you so much, Mom. I know you have to go. I love you.
Okay, love you too, honey. Bye.
Bye. You ever been depressed news?
Depressed news? Yes.
Yeah.
And I
did part of life.
I did go on medication. I went on antidepressants, but I didn't stay. You know, once I started, but I went hand in hand. I went to therapy.
Yep.
You know, I started to do things that were more positive in my life. You know, try and get out of situations that weren't so positive. You know,
right.
it can't just be it.
I looked at it and I was like, all right, there's obviously like there's something here, and I have to work through this. And I'm going to get to the other side of this thing. And I think the problem is when you just think, no, this is life. Like, this is life. I'm just meant to be unhappy. Or I just I'm meant to do this job. Or I'm meant to live this way. Or this is the world we live in. And you accept it and you give into it.
Mm-hmm.
And you allow it to overtake you instead of working through it. You know, you've got to get the help, like my mom was saying. So, anyway, if you need more information on this, call my mom.
But we're
certainly not professionals here.
But the biggest thing I got from your mom was there's, I'm repeating myself, but it has to go hand. Things have to go hand in hand. One thing is just not the only. It's just not.
Yeah.
To crawl out of the abyss, you know.
You need a more holistic, comprehensive, well-rounded approach. The
big
support
time.
Thing is big, though. I will tell you.
Sure.
And I have found, like, I was with my friends. Heidi actually had to go to a wedding. And I was with two of my friends at brunch. I was with Andy and Christy, and I was like, you guys, I think I'm going through something. And then I was like, I think I'm depressed. And like, I found myself kind of slipping into this really dark headspace.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, I was able to kind of like sit with my friends and feel connected and like talk with them. And I felt better after talking to Heidi, felt better after talking to my shrink. And I'm like, all right, it allowed me to feel that sense of connectedness, but that's exactly what it is. I think the more hurt I got, and unfortunately some of the individuals that hurt me were personal. Like, mm-hmm. That's what really sucked. Like,
yeah.
People that I allowed into my home, that I allowed into my family, that I treated really well, who took advantage and got greedy, and it rocked me. I was like, oh my God, like, is this human nature? Is this how people are? Like, it's one thing to screw over somebody in business, which I hate that, you know, and it messes with my head. You know, business is almost like, it's like a way of justifying sociopathic behavior, and people are like, oh no, I screwed them. I'm a good businessman. But like, to have it come from within, like somebody within my inner circle. Mm. Oh my God.
That's so hurtful.
I was like, I cannot even believe this is happening right now. It'd be like, Janice, if you turned around and you were like, oh, I see an opportunity to sue and make money. Like, you found like something and you took it. I would be so, it would F with me, dude, deeply, deeply. And it has, it shook me. Cause you know, I was already like pretty fragile on sort of that divide between human beings and like the goodness and always trying to find the good. And it just, And so I'm like, and it's obviously a theme. Like my mom said, it goes back to my childhood and stuff that started, you know, and my relationship with my dad and all of that. And so anyway.
Well, I better get rid of this lawsuit then. I was just going to present you with. I'll wait till.
That's not how it works, actually.
Oh, really? I wouldn't have a clue.
That's not how it works.
It's not written down on a piece of paper.
No, you would go and find the most opportunistic, greedy, a-hole attorney. And then they would serve something to your home.
Hang on, let me.
And then it's
down.
A blackmail letter, and it goes like this. You're going to pay us a bunch of money, or we're going to go to the media and we're going to tell them you're X, Y, and Z, and you can spend this much on your attorneys, or you can pay half that amount to us.
Half that amount.
Yeah, that's how it works.
To us.
That's the goal.
Got it.
That's the game.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's the game. That is the game.
We'll be right back. you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.